be judged. When we get down to that verse in the next week or so, we're going to look at that thing and see all the judgments in the Bible. And I tell you right off the bat, if you want to mark it down, the best judgment is self-judgment. The worst judgment is self-judgment. Because sometimes the best judgment being self-judgment, if you're honest with yourself and you judge yourself according to Scriptures, you'll take care of some things in your life. However, if you look at yourself as faultless and you judge yourself, your judgment will be flawed and you will hurt yourself as a Christian. That's why everybody should be married, so he could look over his wife and say, "Honey, is there any fault in me?" But as we look at this, verse 1, the outline for this book literally is this. And verse 1 is the directions for the people. Then the verse 2 down to verse 22 is the disorders from the people. And then verse 23 to 34, which is the end of the chapter, will deal with the declaration to the people. And as we read tonight, verse 1 says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And then the Bible says there, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." Now, pay attention. There's a disorder in the church at Corinth because the women were running the men, and the men that were over the women wasn't running that according to Christ. They had it all messed up. It was God's order, and they went against God's order. Most places I hear this preached, they never talk about how the man don't follow Christ, and that's what the problem is. This ain't one of them places, is it? Somebody say amen. Don't make me get the cell phone out, because I will. Thank you, brother. Amen. He's got one that says, "Drop the plow, Dr. Little." I like that one, too. Now, I want you to make some notes here to help you out. It says in verse 4, "Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head." That means God wants you to shave that nasty hair off your head, men. Not really, but I thought it'd be good to throw that in for me and him. We like it. Don't we like it? Don't we like it? Don't we like it? But he's talking about covering your head with a hat. That's where if you see some of these old timers, you walk in with a hat on, they say, "Take that hat off, boy." That's where they get that from the Word of God. "But every woman that praying or prophesieth with her head uncovered dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven." And this time we're not talking about church lady hats. Put on your Easter bonnet. No, we're not talking about them. It's talking about your hair. Now, he says, "For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it's a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered." And I noticed there, this stuff's self-explanatory, but don't you notice? He doesn't want some bobbed-haired dyke lesbian walking in the church with a haircut like mine. Period. And it says, "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is not of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Here it is, judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him?" I had somebody tell me one time, said, "That's not a sin, it says a shame." Did they crucify Jesus in open shame? Then there must be a sin to that somewhere or another. But I notice this, it said, "Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him?" Now, if I see a man with long hair, I'm looking at one or two things. I'm looking at a rebel like Absalom. I'm looking at a rebel that's trying to grow long hair to go against what his parents are trying to teach him against. I can say, "Man, I did that to my parents and I had long hair." Bless you, Father Little. You've confessed your sins. But I do know this, in nature, even the trees have a time where they get a haircut. Most of them, anyway. So there ain't no hippie trees hanging out there. Is that right? I see it says, but if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given for a covering. You might want to circle hair right there, because there's the covering. Hey, lady, God don't want you to shave your head. I don't care who does it on TV. Don't care if Hillary looks like that. And if you look like Hillary, you got big problems. God said, thou shalt follow Christ, not follow those Clintons. But I want you to focus on this and look at it. He says, verse 16, but if a man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. I want to let you know that I have heard the rules of this church, and I've heard from many, from people that have never walked in this church and never drove by it, that we have rules that if you women show up with breeches, we'll throw your tail out. If you show up, a woman shows up with long hair, we'll throw your tail out. If a man shows up in a pair of shorts, we'll throw his tail out. If a man shows up with long hair, we'll throw him out. I've heard that. People ain't even walked in the doors heard that. How come y'all never tell me the rules? I've been here going on 20 years. I hadn't even heard that until this year, this past year. I thought, my goodness, somebody needs to tell somebody so somebody can tell me. Why am I always the last one to know things? But I noticed that little gathering we had Monday and all those outsiders that come in, they all fit everything I just described, and none of you threw them out, did you? Must be somebody's lying on us because of something. But he said, if people seem to be contentious about that, he said, we have no such custom. You know why? All we got to do is get them to God, and God will clean them up. Right. Listen, when I got saved, nobody ever sat down First Corinthians chapter 11 and said, now listen here, brother. We want you to cut that hair. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Nobody did that for me. But when I walked in the house of God, I knew I needed to do something different. I just didn't know what it was. And somehow, in some way, God worked it all out. And I read a little quote I want to read to you. And this may help all you want to be hippies out, or want to be bobbed hair, dyke, knit, lesbian newscasters. I don't know what you want to be in life, but I want to read you something. It says, if you want to wear long hair, why do you want to wear it? Like the old preacher said, the Lord don't care what you do. What the Lord wants to know is why you do what you do. The whole thing is motive. What's your motive behind what you're doing? I heard a fellow tell me one time, said, now Jesus had long hair. I said, have you seen his driver's license picture? Well, no, but I've seen those portraits they painted of him. They who? Who painted those pictures? Well, I guess the disciples painted them. They in the Bible. I mean, I've heard this stuff. One guy even went so far as to tell me this. He said, I don't care what the Bible says, I know Jesus had long hair. I'm going to tell you something. I've looked at the scriptures, I've looked at portraits made in the 15th century, and Mormon Jesus from about a couple hundred years ago. He's the one that looks more Gentile than the rest of them. He has a better part in his hair and flatter hair than the other ones. But out of all of them, Jesus would have never shamed his father. Right. Now, whether he had a haircut like mine, I'm not sure, but I know he had Jewish hair. And I knew it wasn't hippie-looking Jewish hair. Right. So how you know that? Because if it's a shame, Jesus wouldn't have done it. Right. He's inerrant. He cannot commit an error. Right. And he would never shame his father. But why don't you go back to verse 1. I want to give you a little exposition on how to cut your hair tonight. But the message I want to preach to you on tonight is found in verse 1. It's a real simple message. Keep your Bible open. We're going to turn to some things and see some things that will help you. And the message tonight I want to preach to you on is a message named after a child's game. It's real simple. It's called Follow the Leader. Follow the Leader. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come to you tonight. God, we pray, Lord, that you'll move and help us tonight and do a work in our hearts and lives. God, we need a touch from heaven tonight. And I pray, God, that you'll speak to our hearts and help us, Lord. May, God, you work on our hearts tonight. Help us do what your word says. And help us, God, to do it because of the motive of wanting to love Jesus and follow Him in all that we say and do. Lord, we love You and we thank You. In Jesus' precious name we pray and for His sake. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. I have heard it told in this church that somebody said that down at our church, y'all follow a man. That's what they say. They say, y'all follow me. I don't know when you doing said following, but when you start, it might give me the heart attack to find out. Amen, friend. Amen. But listen to this. In all seriousness, they're following Billy Graham, and if you're following me, I'll go ahead and say this. At least you know who I am. At least when you get sick, you can call me and say, pray for me. Some of them are following the Pope tonight. That's the man they follow. They follow him because in the back of their mind, they want to see all the men wearing dresses. Some tonight follow TV preachers. They say, boy, I want to be just like him. Well, go buy that. Listen, go to the hair club for men and take a picture and they'll have you looking like him in no time. Amen. Some people say, listen, they say, I don't go to church, but I follow Charles Stanley. Well, I tell you what, hey, listen, when you die, I want you to get that Cadillac to come to your funeral. I want you to get him to come preach your funeral and leave us alone, okay? I want you to get Dr. Stanley to come down here from Atlanta and come strolling. Oh, that's right, he ain't coming.
Yeah, you're right.
He ain't coming. I heard somebody say a while back they followed T.D. Jakes. I said, Lord have mercy, I hope you ain't following him and his diet plan. I heard somebody say recently that they followed God and not man. I want to make a statement tonight and I'm going to back it up with the rest of the things I'm going to say. You cannot follow God without following a man. But you got to follow the right man. With the right motives. And with the right plan. Now watch this. If we're to follow somebody, Paul points out, by the inspiration of God, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. We need to follow the man of God as he follows Christ. We don't, listen, I'm not subjecting you to Greg Little dictatorship. You don't do good with it now, and if I subjected you to it, you'd probably do even worse. But I will say this, you are to follow me as I follow Christ. Number one, you follow the leader in, I guess you could say, character. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, you follow the man of God in character. 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, look down at verse 15 and 16. You follow the man of God in his, you follow him in character. And here's what the Bible says. It said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. If I found that my pastor was putting up with people I couldn't stand, I'd try to be more like my pastor and his character, because that, my friend, is the character of Jesus Christ. In me first, Jesus Christ. That's for the man of God. 1 Timothy is written to the man of God for a pattern of, hey, that long-suffering, without having to go to any fancy dictionary, I'm just going to tell you what it says. It means you'll put up with anything. Anything or anybody. And listen, if I want to follow the man of God in character, I remember looking back on my pastor when he was alive, putting up with people that I thought he ought to slap. And finally, a couple of years after he died, it occurred to me what he said one time about, if you're going to be in the ministry, you got to learn to put up with people. Because if you go around making everybody mad all the time, for no reason, they'll quit listening to you preach. And you'll lose your ministry. I thought, man, that's just wise words right there. I want to have that kind of character. And I'm going to find a man of God that's got character that'll put up with people. Because he might just be putting up with me. I might be the person everybody don't like, and the man of God's putting up with me, and they'll see him following Christ and putting up with long suffering towards me, and they'll start helping me out there, and then maybe my eyes will be open to all that stuff.
Right.
Amen, friend. This is good preaching, ain't it?
Right.
I see, secondly, this. We not only follow the man of God in character, but we follow him in conduct. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We follow the man of God in character. We follow him in conduct. In Ephesians chapter 5, if you'll look at verse 1. Or excuse me. Chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. He says here, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We follow the man of God in character, and then we follow him in conduct. It says there about the vocation wherewith you are called. When God calls a man to preach, he puts some attributes in him. He said, with all lowliness and meekness. Lowliness and meekness. Hey, you know what that means? That means if you got a $100 bill and a $10 bill, and the guy beside you only has a $10 bill, you don't let him see your $100 bill. You know why? Because he throws the 10 out there and you throw the 100, it makes him feel bad. Right? When you pull up at the church house and they fixing to vote you in as pastor and you get voted in, you look across that thing, if you see Pintos and Pacers, you go get you one. Even though you can afford a good car. How many ever owned a Pinto? Y'all know what I'm talking about. There's a reason why those aren't made anymore. There's a reason why AMC Pacers are out of business. But when you go to church, you've got people like that, that's what you drive. Amen, friend.
Amen.
I noticed that somehow or another, God always groups people together like that. Have you ever noticed that? It's a miracle that somehow this happens, but some way and somehow, God will bunch up a bunch of people to show off together, he'll bunch up a bunch of people that's not, and he'll all have churches full of people like that. It's the most strangest thing I've ever seen. And then, out of all that stuff, God will put a man of God in there to try to lead that bunch, but you got to go in there with lowliness and meekness and go in however they do it. Now, if they're doing things that's wrong, don't do that. They got to follow you. You not follow them.
Right.
But I see here he says lowliness and meekness, and there's that word long-suffering again. And then he says forbearing one another in love. My goodness, put up with them and put up with them in love.
Yeah.
And he says endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Hey, you follow the man of God in conduct. Listen, you follow him in conduct. Act right.
Amen.
Listen. Unto God, I'm going to tell you something. If you park in my parking space, I ain't going to get mad at you the first time. I'll assume you can't read, and I'll understand. But my deacons may not look at you the same way. They may ask you to move their car. Okay? Hint, hint, hint. Okay, thank you. However, if somebody don't know and they do it, I've got no problem with that. But if somebody comes in trying to do that to start trouble, I'm going to ignore them and not let them get something like that. But wait, there's more. If you show up here and you constantly show up late and all this other stuff, I think we ought to have a parking lot rule on something, and I think the deacons and all the men ought to take care of it. Here's the rule. If you ain't got a handicap sticker, stay yourself out of them handicap spots. Or we'll go get my stick out of my office. And we'll whoop you. You ought to be ashamed doing that. This church is entirely accessible to handicapped folks, and we tried to make the parking lot the same way. And here comes somebody, just parking handicapped. Listen, you need a check. You need a crazy check is what you need. You need to follow the man of God in conduct. Park right. And don't be piling up over here on this little thing over here. You see that thing that's got grass over there? Don't park on that. Park out here.
Yeah.
If we got an overflow crowd, yeah, park over there, park there, park on top of the building for all I care. Amen, friend. Listen to me. Are you with me? Now, I don't see none of you piled up over here next week. If one of you already parked out there, good, because I didn't go look. Hope you mad as a devil. Hebrews chapter 10. Ain't we having fun? Now, I've got just a few more moments left, and I'm going to do this as quickly as I can, and painfully as I can. Hebrews chapter 10. We follow the man of God in character, we follow him in conduct, and we follow him in church. Watch this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Circle the first word. Not. Not. That's going to make this this statement negative. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The assembling of ourselves together, that's got to be church. Got to be. Say why? Because I said it was. Oh, and the Bible says it. There's that. But I notice this. I'm going to follow the man of God in church. However he goes to church, I'm going to church. You know what's wrong with church people now? Preachers lay out all the time. They lay out. They're not somewhere preaching, they lay out.
Right.
A man came to me one time at this church, came to me at this church, laid out his own church services, got together with the deacons, and they sent him to me. They said, our pastor's laying out on Sunday watching the ball games. He said he's out preaching or singing or something, but we found out he's down at the parsonage. He's watching ball games. I said, now what team is he watching? When he said it wasn't the Cowboys, I said, fire him. But if it was the Cowboys, fire him anyway.
Right.
So what are you firing for, laying out or lying? Both.
Amen.
You don't do that.
Right.
You don't do that. There's not a preacher alive that's called of God or not called of God. Don't know that's wrong.
Right.
And let me tell you something. You follow the man of God in church. I got the privilege to go up Brother Emery's this past week. And I noticed something. He does something I do. Me and him have never talked about it. When it come time to give tithes and offerings, he pulled it out and you could deliberately see he had something in his hand and put in the plate. And some people say, oh, now that's just him showing off, showing how much. I didn't see the amount. I just saw that the man of God was giving an offering plate.
Right.
You know what I wanted to do? I didn't have a dime in my pocket. I wanted to give too. You know why? Because I was looking at the man of God. There's my example. He did. Amen. Listen. Follow him in church. Follow him in church. Follow him in the things of God. Hey, listen. I watch preachers and I watch Christians and I know this. If the man of God does it, we need to follow him if he's following Christ, and we can find out whether he's following Christ according to his word. And if he is, I am. And if I am, I want everybody to, because it's right.
Amen.
I'm not trying to get favor with God. I just want to do what he already said. We follow him in conduct, we follow him in character, we follow him in church, but put this down, we follow him in conflict. 1 Timothy chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. There's the old song, it says this, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. No, that ain't how it works. When the going gets tough, everybody starts leaving. And listen, I've seen preachers tell me that, say, listen, they was ganging up on me in church one time, and they was about to start a riot in that church, and said all my good people left. I said, I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. I heard one preacher say they was going to have a vote on him one time. He said, we're going to have it next Sunday. He said, two or three people called me and said, we've already got our vacation plan. We're sorry we can't be there. You sorry rascal. Either leave a day late or come back a day early and stand behind the man of God in conflict.
Amen.
Only people who want to vote out of church, vote a preacher out of a church that's preaching the Bible is a bunch of devils.
Right.
A bunch of devils. You say, you reckon they'd be in the house of God? If one would show up in Mark chapter 1 while Jesus is preaching, I wonder how many much more shows up when we're preaching. Look at this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." What are we going to teach them? "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." You follow the man of God in conflict. We listen. We've got ourselves in such a mess that we want everybody to like us. We say, "Oh, we got to keep such and such on our Facebook friends." Let me tell you something. Brother Carter's been dead for quite a while now, several years. But if somebody talks about him, we ain't friends even on Facebook.
Amen.
Yes, friend, I said it. Amen. Brother David Reagan up in Tennessee, great man of God, wrote several pamphlets on the King James Bible. Lovely spirit about the man. Preach for him. Love him. If somebody goes running down David Reagan, we ain't buddies no more. You know why? Because they're running down a man of God from the grave. And my grandma said somebody talk about somebody's dead worse than somebody talk about somebody's alive. Now, I don't know if that's in the Bible or not, but it sticks. Listen, when somebody runs down the man of God, I got no use for him. In fact, if we got to pick sides, I'm on his. You say, what if he's wrong? God will straighten him out every time. Or so I've noticed. Having been on that side where you've been wrong, yes, God does straighten you out when you're wrong. But I do know this much. When somebody gets to slipping around and doing all this other stuff and want to run down the man of God, run down the decision making of the church and all this other stuff, you better mark that person as the devil and get to the pastor and tell him all about it. And then get behind the pastor and help pray that devil clean or clean out, one or the other. Amen, friend. I heard somebody say a while back, they said, "Now, doesn't Jesus say that what we've got to do is we got to leave them tares alone and let God deal with them?" Honey, if you read that in context, that's not during the millennial reign. He's binding them up right now. Have you ever heard them old preachers say that sin binds? Well, it's binding right now. It's binding the charismatics with the Catholics. It's binding the new age with the old age and trying to get people together. It's binding the witchcraft with the white witchcraft and the dark magic and all the other stuff. He's binding all them people together. He is. When it comes to the church, Christ tells us to do this. "Mark them which cause divisions among you contrary to the doctrines you have learned, and avoid them." That would be in Romans chapter 16. Listen, me and one of our former elected officials was speaking in the public Walmart aisle yesterday. That means me and this politician were talking, friend. And you know what? I saw a couple of devils come up. And I don't know if they didn't like him or didn't like me, but they turned around. You know why? They know where I stand on them. "Well, I wonder if it'd be nice if I come." I might say, "Hey, but we ain't buddies." I might say, "Because I'm a nice guy." Amen, friend. Are you listening to me? There's two people that I'd like to be in this world if I was me. If I was not me. I'd want to be my friend or my enemy. That way, either way, I know I get prayed for. And no, I don't pray, "Lord, smite them hip and thigh and put them in the ground," and all this other stuff. I pray God to bless them. Give them everything they ask for, Lord. Everything. Lord, be good to their family. Make their family strong. Now, my friends, Lord, you know they disagreed with me, but help them get right or get left. You know that type of thing. But I would want people to understand that in conflict, we're going to get behind the man of God. Because over the years, I figured out something. That's who God gets behind.
Right.
He'll protect that preacher to let you eat it. There was a while back, a fellow told me, he said, "I don't think that's true. Him and his church is paying for a $500,000 building right now with 30 people sitting there doing it." You know why? They kept going up against the man of God. Kept going against him. The only thing he told them was not to borrow money for that building. You know what they did? They was going to borrow money and get it or die. 170 people quit after the pastor left. 30 people paying for $500,000. Who's got that kind of money on you? Do that? Let's take up a collection and help them poor people out tonight. You think we could pay their building off for them? Probably not. And you know what God's going to let them do? He's not going to let them close down. No, he's going to let them pay for every dime of it by themselves. They yard selling and bake selling and children selling and wife selling and husband selling and everything else trying to get that thing paid for. You know what's driving them? You think it's the devil? No, it's pride. But he is the prince of pride. Hey, just follow the leaders. He follows Christ. If the man of God starts going astray, don't follow him going astray. You follow him as he follows Christ. I've heard all these things about, well, now David did such and such in the Bible and it was a sin, and Moses did it and it was a sin. You don't follow them when they go in sin. You follow them as they follow Christ. Amen. Let's stand with every head bowed.